Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. How to Fight by Thich Nhat Hanh is a short mindfulness guide in the Mindfulness Essentials series, illustrated by Jason D'Antonis. Rather than treating conflict as a contest to win, the book frames anger, fear, resentment, and confusion as states that can be understood and transformed through awareness. Its purpose is practical and pastoral. It offers very small but concrete practices for moments when emotions become overwhelming, especially in relationships where reactive speech can deepen suffering. The book draws on Zen Buddhist teaching, but it is presented in an accessible form for general readers, including people with little or no meditation background. Its core concern is not how to overpower another person, but how to interrupt habitual reactions, return to the breath, and respond with clarity, compassion, and loving speech. In that sense, it functions both as an introduction to mindfulness and as a compact manual for de-escalating interpersonal conflict. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, conflict is treated as a problem of suffering, not an enemy to defeat. A central idea in the book is that interpersonal conflict becomes clearer when it is understood as the expression of suffering rather than as proof that the other person is simply wrong or hostile. Thich Nhat Hanh consistently redirects attention away from blame and toward the conditions that produce anger, fear, and misunderstanding. This matters because blame tends to intensify defensive behavior, while a suffering-centered view opens space for reflection. The book suggests that when people argue, they are often reacting from pain, craving, or confusion they do not yet recognize in themselves. By treating conflict as a human condition rooted in suffering, the book changes the goal of engagement. The aim is not victory, but insight and relief. That shift is important because it makes reconciliation possible without denying harm. Readers are encouraged to see the emotional root of conflict before attempting to solve the outer disagreement. Secondly, pausing and returning to the breath interrupts reactive speech. The book gives special importance to the first moments of anger, when words and actions can quickly become damaging. Instead of advising immediate confrontation, it emphasizes pausing, breathing, and refraining from acting while the emotion is still overpowering. This is not described as suppression. It is a deliberate act of awareness that creates a small gap between feeling and response. That gap is the practical heart of the method because it prevents automatic escalation. In the book's logic, breathing is not a decorative spiritual exercise, but a stabilizing tool that restores access to judgment and compassion. Once the reader can notice anger without being fully consumed by it, the emotional field changes. The pause makes it possible to avoid saying things that later require repair, and it allows the person to tend to their own inner state before attempting to address the external issue. This mechanism is what gives the book much of its practical value. Thirdly, loving speech is presented as a disciplined form of reconciliation. Another major topic is the ethical and practical role of loving speech. Thich Nhat Hanh presents speech not merely as communication, but as a force that can either sustain suffering or help heal it. The book therefore treats phrasing, tone, and timing as important matters of mindfulness. Loving speech includes telling the truth without hostility, apologizing when needed, and speaking in ways that restore hope rather than deepen resentment. The point is not to make conflict disappear through politeness, but to use language that does not add more pain to an already difficult situation. This approach is significant because it recognizes that many relationships are damaged less by the original issue than by the way people speak during conflict. By making speech an object of practice, the book turns communication into an arena of moral and emotional discipline. Readers learn that a helpful response is one that reduces fear and increases trust, even when the discussion itself remains serious or uncomfortable. Fourthly, the book distinguishes the first victim from the second victim. One of the book's most memorable insights is its distinction between the first victim and the second victim. When someone directs anger or resentment at us, the book suggests that their behavior is usually rooted in their own unresolved suffering. In that sense, they are the first victim of their pain, while the person receiving the anger becomes the second victim. This framing is useful because it reduces the tendency to personalize every hostile reaction. It does not excuse harmful conduct, but it helps the reader interpret it more accurately. By recognizing the other person's suffering, the reader is less likely to respond with equal aggression and more likely to remain steady. The concept also supports compassion without naivete. It invites understanding of the source of harm while still acknowledging that the harm is real. This is a distinctly Buddhist contribution to conflict thinking because it combines emotional realism with non-retaliation. The result is a practical model for responding to hostility without becoming trapped in it. Lastly, transformation begins with learning to hold anger gently instead of rejecting it. The book repeatedly returns to the idea that anger should be met with tenderness rather than suppression or self-attack. Thich Nhat Hanh's instruction to smile at anger captures a larger principle. emotions become more workable when they are acknowledged calmly and held with care. This does not mean approving of anger or acting it out. It means recognizing it as part of one's experience and treating it as something that can be understood. That approach is important because resistance often strengthens painful states, while gentle awareness can dissolve some of their force. The book also implies that a person who can care for their own suffering becomes more capable of helping others. Internal transformation and relational repair are therefore linked. The practical value of this topic lies in its realism. Readers are not asked to eliminate anger instantly, only to stop feeding it and to observe it with steadiness. That makes the book accessible because it offers a humane starting point for change rather than an unrealistic demand for emotional perfection. In conclusion, How to Fight is best suited for readers who want a concise, concrete introduction to mindfulness as it applies to conflict, anger, and difficult relationships. It will be especially useful for people drawn to Thich Nhat Hanh's teaching style, beginners looking for an approachable Buddhist text, and experienced practitioners who want a small but focused reminder of core practices. The book offers clear benefits. It helps readers notice reactive patterns earlier, pause before speaking, and reinterpret hostility in a less personal and more compassionate way. Intellectually, it reframes conflict as something to be understood at its roots rather than simply managed at the surface. Practically, it offers habits that can be used in daily arguments, family tension, workplace friction, or moments of private frustration. What makes it stand out in its category is its combination of brevity, accessibility, and moral precision. Many books on conflict emphasize strategy, persuasion, or emotional control. This one emphasizes awareness, breathing, loving speech, and the transformation of suffering itself. That makes it less like a conventional self-help manual and more like a compact meditation guide for real human encounters. If you would like to support Thich Nhat Hanh, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.